Okay, Rabbeisai, we are, first of all, I want to welcome Avi Meir Shlita, who is here and hopefully can experience live Torah, not just Torah on YU Torah. And we want to welcome Srili, who is our new BMP member, Shkoich. We look forward to you learning together with us. We have one more member coming tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem. And for all of you, unfortunately, who will be leaving, So certainly a divrei preda. Hopefully this morning you got chizuk from our words on the importance of the sweetness of Torah. So this will actually be a shir that we'll do over 2 days, but you will not be a cliffhanger of you having to stay here and your father not being able to drive you home. You'll be okay. We'll do most of the inyanim today. Tomorrow we'll do more of the tshuvas as we are nohik to do. So I thought for the 3 weeks it would be important to focus on the kedusha of the land of Israel. And as you can see from the Meir Makoma sheet, this is a shir that I gave years ago before Bar Ilan was popular. And I remember when I gave the shir, in the Rabbi Neuberger Shul on a Shavuos night, so it was during a very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. And I remember once having a discussion with Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zatzal, and I asked him, we were talking about different inyanim, and he said that whenever there's a matzav in Eretz Yisrael, one of the ideas is to learn Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. Just like every morning we say in the Parm Svarim Sfaseinu, that every morning we learn about the Karbanos. We learn about the Karbanos. We say the Karbanos. It's supposed to remind us of what we don't have. So learning about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael hopefully will remind us what we're missing in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So, in Mirtz Hashem, you all saw, I think this is a good way for us to learn halacha, as I really egged you on as for a case for a case against, and to see halacha l'maisa. We'll do as much as we possibly can this morning. So, you saw Rashi in source number 1, Yaakov Avinu makes his sons have a shavua, and in that shavua, he makes them swear that he'll be buried in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, this is also, we know Yosef was the same thing, a relationship to this week's Parsha, Moshe Kaplan, once again for the 16th time we're quoting you. So Moshe's vort from Rav Moshe Feinstein, which he stole from me, was the idea that the reason why, no, not Rav Moshe, that there's a famous story about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. He was machadish something once, and it was a chiddush was going around all of Europe, this awesome chiddush. Rav Chaim was certainly the person who we established most of us in Rav Chaim's method. So apparently there was another person who was using his method. And this specific chiddush, he was going around also. This used to be a thing where you would go around to different towns. That's the way you made money. Remember we told the story about Korach, the guy that he went around and he only had one vord, and the handkerchief would fall on the floor. So going around. So they went to Rav Chaim and they said, can you write a letter saying it's my chiddush, it's not his chiddush, he should stop being paid for this, it's a wonderful razzle-dazzle chiddush. So Rav Chaim said, he says, you can't. He gave an analogy, but just quickly, he said that sometimes when somebody repeats something so many times, so they think it's their Torah. He says, he really thought of it, even though he forgot it was from, Rav Chaim. Okay, so this is Rav Moshe's word, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Zatzal. And so, based on Moshe Kaplan's adaptation of it. So here, Rav Moshe Feinstein, because said that Yosef HaTzadik is mentioned, where normally it's not done by Benos Chlovcha, where they go so far back, not just to Menashe, but right, with Pinchas Ben Elozah, Ben Arakoni, that we had Shilas on. And now all the way back to Yosef, because Yosef was Mes'ave, he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, we know, of course, the famous story at the end, where Moshe starts the process of bringing the bones and the future Eretz Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael bring it. So why did Yaakov Avinu want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? What was the big deal? So if you were able to read the little Rashi, so anybody know, anyone to tell me, what were the reasons that Rashi gave here in source number 1? Yes, sir.
Because one reason was in the lice, in the
Nakba, right.
All the sand turned to lice, so right. If you're buried in the sand, it's going to be turned to lice.
Correct, right. Correct. Good. What? Too soon. Yeah. Anybody else? New? Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't want to be worshipped. He wanted to be made on
the
shrine.
Right. 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 And the reason of reasons. Anybody know? We're big.
The rolling.
Macholos. So here Rashi says that there are different things that he was afraid of. So he spoke about Kinam. He spoke about the We spoke about the Isser of Avodah Zarah that they would make over him. There, and then he would go in Macholos Macholos. So there seems to be some sort of Indian Rashi says that when somebody, when Mashiach finally comes, so those living in Eretz Yisrael will have a very short journey, a short Uber ride to Eretz Yisrael without any Isurim. But those living in Chutz La'aretz will have to go in Macholos, if we can imagine, I guess, in these, long tunnels, and those tunnels will be quite painful for them. And Yaakov Avinu didn't want to do that. So very, very interesting halacha. So here in source number 2, we saw the Midrash. The Midrash in Parshas Vayechi, also a beautiful Midrash. So first of all, if you need anything else, I'm going to send a Shei Devarim B'Shem Rav Chelbo, Lama Avos Mavim Kvur Be'eretz Yisrael. Why Yaakov Avinu? Obviously we know Marisa Machpelo, Rachel. We know the story of Kever Rachel and Yosef. Kavur shal yidei shemese eretz yisrael chayim techila b'yamos haMashiach. If nothing else, don't you want to be the first in techias haMesim when Mashiach comes? The ochem shos haMashiach. Chanina omer misha mes b'chutz laaretz v'nekaber sham shtei misol sheish b'yado. Very, very strict line that a person has two misos. This is based on the Sefer Chassidim says this, that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So, I'm sorry, not Sefer Chassidim, has two deaths. The Yerushalmi alludes to this as well, that a person who dies, so he has like two misos. And one is the fact that he wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. Then he tells over this beautiful story that I'm sure you read, Maisa Berebi, for Rabbi Elazar, Shahayu Mahalchim, the Boshe Chutz L'Tveria. They were going, the Chutz, they were going to Tuchum. Then they saw Aron Shalmeis, Shabbat Michutz L'Aretz, Shekover Be'eretz Yisrael. Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar, Ma Ha'il Zeh Sheyatzaten Nishmasa B'chul Ba'alavaka Be'eretz Yisrael Ani Korah Alav V'nachal Tishima Matoeva. What is he coming here for? He's bringing his tumah body into our land. A chutzpah. So this is going to be, a case for and a case against, because the answer to that is, on one hand, B'chayechem V'tavo, right? You should come in your life. No, maybe you should dafka come be moisa. Amr lei kevan shayu mekaver be'eretz Yisrael mechaper dichsiv mechaper admas amo. Very, very strict line that there's a kapara. It's like being tachas hamizbeach, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, right? And there's a kapara. There's a certain kapara. Number one, there are people who just couldn't make it to Eretz Yisrael. They always wanted to make it to Eretz Yisrael. And number two, we could say that maybe we shouldn't. A person who knows that he's a sinner shouldn't live in Eretz Yisrael because Eretz Yisrael is more kadosh. Allah the Ramban, who says, everything's practice here, it's preparation in Chutz La'aretz. Eretz Yisrael is the real deal, but it's also the real deal for the negative. Those that do Averus, so it's much stricter. So says the Medrash Rabbah here, the Maisa of the Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe, so there's a Kapara, and that's why he went to be Eretz Yisrael. Even though he lived in Chutz La'aretz, there's a Kapara. So, here the Gemara in Kesuvos on source number 3, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, expounds on this. The Gemara is actually much longer here. Aravi Onan called Kovi Be'eretz Yisrael Ki Ilu Kovi Tachas HaMizbeach. Right? That's really the pasuk. Right? We use the pasuk same in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayechi. There's a kapara of the Adama of Eretz Yisrael. The story is told, the Gemara continues, that Ula died in Chutz La'aretz, he's been Eretz Yisrael, and that was the reason. However, the Geshur HaChaim picks up on this Gemara. Really, the Medrash as well, I would assume. And the Geshur HaChaim says, what Topuchinsky says, he says, don't think that you have the same kapara, if you will, or you have the same point being buried in Eretz Yisrael if you lived in Chutz La'aretz. Being buried in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, is a zchus primarily for those who gave their lives to live in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And again, going back to Bnei Slavcha, they wanted to build up the land. They didn't just want a chelik in Eretz Yisrael that would be part of somebody else's chelik. They wanted a chelik that he could build up. So that's over here, the same thing. Says Rav Topuchinsky, he says, very nice, there is something to it, and it's a nice thing. But don't think you're the same person as a person who's a Bnei Aliyah, somebody who makes Aliyah, or for that matter, who lived in Eretz Yisrael their entire lives. The Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, says beautifully the following. He quotes Amr Chacham and calls Shachin Be'eretz Yisrael Avonis Machu. Shneamar Obalim Shachin Chelafayis. He says everybody that lives in Eretz Yisrael
their kilu, their sins are forgiven. Shachen chilila ha'am ha'yoshe ba noise avon afil halach ba arba amos zorich lechayo ilam haba. Unbelievable. Mistam is talking about not just visiting there, but somebody who lives there arba amos. This reminds me of Yarpid's father when he was running. He was in the Knesset as well. So he was once interviewed by a Haredi like newspaper. They want to find out why is he so anti-religious. He was very, very his ads and his rhetoric were quite inflammatory against religious people. So he says, "What are you telling me?" It happened to be it was a person who came. I forgot what it was. Yitid Ne'aman, Mishpacha, something. They came from America. It's a chutzpah. He says, "You're telling me that you're more religious than I am. You don't live in Eretz Yisrael." He says, "I live in Eretz Yisrael." He didn't quote the Rambam, but you know that would be cool if you. The Rambam Hilchos Malachim says Dalet Amos, I'm Chayo Yilam Haba. So okay, he thought you didn't have to do any other things, but there's something to it. We should be very careful. You know, we make fun of people that are Eretz Yisrael. You should be careful. Rav Cook had a picture of Theodor Herzl in his office. So there used to be this joke, apparently, that they used to keep taking the picture. People would say, "How can you have a picture of Theodor Herzl?" Says, one time somebody said, you know that people keep breaking the picture, and you keep putting it up. Do you know why? Theodor Herzl. So he said something like, he says, number one, he was Misava for Eretz Yisrael. And number two, he had a beard, so he did some mitzvahs, he did some things. You know, it's true, if you ever think about it, looks pretty firm. Okay, fine. So Zerichel Lechaylov, There's a kapara, right? There's a kapara being there in Eretz Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael obviously is on a higher level. We know about Yaakov and Yitzchak. The famous line just happens to be that I have it still there. Le'olim yidor adam be'Eretz Yisrael afilu be'ir sharuba ve'afilu be'ir sharuba Yisrael. Even if in Chutz La'aretz you have a city that is majority. You know, it's the summer, and it's Monticello, it's Woodburn, right? Or you're living in Camp Misora, and there's 1,200 people that are here. Okay, Yishkoyach, that's wonderful, it's great. But in Eretz Yisrael, even if you lived in, God forbid, but even if you had to live in, you know, some Arab town, you had to live in Hussein, you know, next to Beitar, still said it's better. So the Rambam, of course, takes this seriously. So there seems to be a great case to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Because why? Because there's a kapara. The Shevet HaLevi, the Minchas Yitzchak, the Chelkas Yaakov, the Tzitzel Yezer, all agree with this line of thinking and say that even if a person lived in Chutz La'aretz, there would be a mila for them to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, the Be'er Moshe and the Ger HaChaim says, based on this idea, one could understand why somebody, if you ever obviously thought about it, I'm sure, so why Har HaZeisim, you know, is prime real estate? Har HaMenuchah is prime real estate. It says to be buried in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, whoa, that's even better. Because it has to be that even though there will be some moving, if you're in the Beit Shemesh Cemetery, so it'll take you a little bit longer to get there. So why wouldn't you want to be right there? And then there's another idea, I think it's from the Gesher HaChaim, where he says, if we really use this analogy and go to town with this analogy, so he says the kapara of Eretz Yisrael is what? Like you're tachas ha-mizbeach. So he says, why wouldn't you actually want to be tachas ha-mizbeach? So that's why Har HaZeisim became so popular. Mamash, you can see the mizbeach, that's why. Okay. So is there any case to say that there's something against this? So yes. So we already alluded to this. There's Yerushalmi over here that says this idea. Amar Rebbe, ben kvur le Rebbe, la'ozer ma hoyil ve'ani kore aleihem. So this is the same idea. This is really the Gemara. This is really the Medrash Rabbah, as I quoted. A chutzpah. He goes, they're coming now with their tumah bodies, all the sins that they did, and now that there's going to be some sort of kapara for them. They have two deaths, and that's what the Gesher HaChaim here in source number 8 says. Alpha P. Shechazal Yiduah. What?
Does that mean two deaths?
I don't know. I'm not so smart to know. Mistama, right? That there's a death of the corporal body outside of Eretz Yisrael, and then there's another death that you're metamidaret, whatever that means. I don't know if it's actually physical, you know, obviously something spiritual, but there is the idea of this chutzpah where a person comes to Eretz Yisrael. And like, what are you doing here? What do you think? I sit and work the land my entire life, and now you come when you're, you know, 120 years old, and it's not fair. I don't know. The Tabo Tumas is Artsam. He quotes the Zohar. I don't want to quote the Zohar directly. And he says that the Zohar says, "V'amru sham od mandelo zochi b'chay v'misasam." You're going to be buried here. There's no kapara.
So apparently, the Zohar says that if a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael and he comes from Chutz Laaretz, he has no kapara for his body. Meaning, again, talking about the kapara of Eretz Yisrael, not a general kapara. Man. So that's quite strict if we go according to that idea. And then there's the famous idea that Rav Henkin is quoted as saying here in source number 9, my easiest source I've ever quoted for you, because it's in English. This comes from Rabbi Neustadt's Sefer, but I'll also quote you something that I saw in a Sefer, the Shelo Suchuvas Ivri. You know what the Sefer is now? So here he says the following. Rav Henkin was very concerned about sending an Aron to Eretz Yisrael, because what happened was, and this exists even till today, the expense to be buried in Israel coming from America is certainly, you know, if not double, something along those lines, because of the airplane, and you know, El Al gets you, it's the only airline you could take to go to Eretz Yisrael, and in that way, I mean, and then the, you know, you have to have, it's very expensive, and then the actual kavur in Eretz Yisrael is very expensive. It happens to be, if you're a citizen of Israel, so you have free kavur, one of the few things you get for free. If it's free, you pay for it in your taxes, but it's free. So somebody who obviously is coming as a visitor, if you will, so they have to find a place. They pay a top dollar for that. Obviously, Harizesim, so on and so forth. So he's concerned with this, because what's happening? Netbach, this person dies. They have no money. People are raising money for them to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Or worse, they have a small Yerusha, and half of that Yerusha is going to be for burial in Eretz Yisrael. So he didn't like this idea. And he says, actually, it is totally not to my liking. And regarding this, it is said in Chovos HaLevavos, a bonus is not given unless the debt is paid. Very beautiful. So he says, what's the debt is paid? What do you think he's talking about here? What does that mean, the debt is paid? What debt? Yeah, so there's some sort of debt, meaning it's not that easy. He recognizes that. For great Talmidei Chachamim, who are world-renowned for their meticulous observance of mitzvahs, both easy ones and harder ones, it is fitting and proper for them to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. As Yaakov and Yosef, is that who you're saying that you are? In addition, it's a waste of money for the middle-class widows and orphans, since it entails tremendous expense. And the widow and orphans are sometimes embarrassed to object. I think that for this, it's considered stealing from the widow and orphans. He says, but if somebody wants to be buried, then we can't stop them. And he bases this on a custom that is quoted by Rav Gamaliel, who made a takana. Apparently, there used to be a custom. We, of course, all assume that a Jew is buried in shrouds. That was the general idea. No pockets, the shrouds, the whole Gansa Maisa, the wood coffin, Pashut. So he says, no, Rabbi Gamaliel had an enactment that people apparently were being buried with fancy, lavish clothing. And that's what used to be. And what would happen? You would have poor people, they didn't have anything. They said, Mamish, Rabbi Gamaliel said they were leaving them on the streets because they didn't have the money. Sorry. So Rabbi Gamaliel said, I'll be the first. I'm going to be buried in shrouds and a very, very simple coffin. And that's how this whole idea started. So he said, we see here that there was a chashash, there was a bizayon to the... He says, there's a bizayon here. It's terrible. You're wasting the money of these people. And he says, therefore it can't be done. And that's why he was against it. Along the same lines, the Satmar Rebbe, the Divrei Yoel, both in his Tshuvos, in Chelek Aleph, Siman Kof Gimel, and in Parshas Vayechi, he writes that he says, we don't find any great Gedolim who ever did this, so it shouldn't be done. Okay, it's a little bit strange, if you will. You know, I can name a few that we are buried in Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, this is, you know, Rav Moshe Feinstein comes to mind. This is, you know, but obviously before the time of Rav Moshe, but still, okay. It also wasn't as common because airplane travel wasn't as common, until more recently. The Maharal Bach says, based on the Pesukei Teshuva, that if a parent specifies, I know you think it's a mitzvah, I don't think there's any mitzvah, I don't want to waste my money, I want to be buried in America, you must listen to those, what they want. Unless the person is died in Eretz Yisrael. I've shared with you the tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef, I think this year, where Rav Avadya, a woman died, and she wrote a letter that was signed by her son, that she said, in case I die while I'm in Eretz Yisrael, I want to be buried in South Africa, where she lived, with her husband, who was no longer alive.
And she passed away in Eretz Yisrael, and he asked Rav Avadya, what do I do? And Rav Avadya writes his whole tshuva. I promise you, the neshama is screaming now, saying, please, please, don't listen to that letter that I signed. And it says that her friend called from South Africa. She says, she told me that you're not going to listen, so she's told me to call to say, can you imagine? So there Rav Avadya says, no, she has to be buried. This is a big question. Rachmana litzlan lo aleinu, when a person dies, l'kiddush Hashem, in terrorist attacks, whether or not you should be taking the body out of Eretz Yisrael, for that reason. There are other political concerns also. People do it so that there is an element of kedusha to the I think to the body that people know about, and people are aware that American citizens are being murdered as well. So obviously it's a shikul that a family and a rav is something we can't even imagine. Rahman al-Islam. We've quoted before, but the Tzitzel Yezer also says this. Pipuchinsky says this. I said the Shevet Halevi. It is better to be buried in Yerushalayim, although others disagree and say Eretz Yisrael, that's the idea. It just has to be Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's funny, the cemetery in Beit Shemesh is called Eretz HaChaim, and Eretz HaChaim writes in their advertisements, you know, they always do in the Jewish press, whatever, they write on the hills of Yerushalayim, right, because it's part of Shevet Yehuda. So I think that's a little bit Geneva Stas. That's a little bit, you know, I think there are some people who think it's Mamash Geneva. Yeah, the people who think that it's Mamash Eretz Yisrael. Okay, fine. So what I forgot to quote, I'm sorry, I turned the page. There is a beautiful idea in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Shach, over here. And he asked the Shiloh about, are you allowed to move the body to the Kavur Be'Eretz Yisrael Mutter? So he says that in general, this would be Mutter for a person to move the body in order to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, to exhume the body. Yeah, and that would be a good raya. Others want to claim Rav Moshe's famous tshuva, which we'll see tomorrow in Mitzvah Hashem, in Yerodea Chela Gimel, Kufnun Gimel, where he says those questions asked about Moshe Antefior. They wanted to move his body because he had done so much of Eretz Yisrael. So he said, first of all, only the authority goes on the children. If there are no children alive anymore, you can't decide. You don't know what he wanted. And he said that it's not appropriate for a third party to decide this. And he said it's a bizarion to all the gedolim of Ashkenaz and Svard who weren't able to be buried there. We're going to start exhuming all their bodies. So he said that he should not be buried there. So here, as I said, the Shulchan Aruch and the Tur say that it's mutter. The Beis Yosef, though, said that the reason is that because there's a Yom HaDin for those that aren't buried in Eretz Yisrael, and it's scary, and so it should be buried. The Geshur HaChaim quotes that it could be that it's a Bizarion Hames to do that. And he said, and if you're doing it, so you should wait until the body is actually decomposed, and you're only actually moving bones. Although, obviously, that doesn't always happen. There's famous stories, I don't know which ones are apocryphal and which ones are true, about great people who passed away, and they found that they were showing. A story that I heard, I was at a shiva house of a friend of mine whose mother passed away, and this guy came in, and he was from South Africa, and he says, oh, I know a story about it. And he said, yeah, that's my, I think he said his mother. His father. And he told the story, I'll just tell the story, it's such a beautiful Musa Haska.
Why would they go and check the first place?
Right, so after a certain amount of years, by nature of, you know, that's the way things are. So the story is that his mother was sick, and she moved, not the story of Radio Yosef, and she moved to Eretz Yisrael to live out her life. And she said, you know, when we passed away, she wasn't religious. She said, I really would like to, I love Eretz Yisrael, and I want to be buried here. But your father, you know, can we exhume? They said, okay, we'll exhume the body. They asked the Shiloh, you're allowed to do it, go ahead and find. So they weren't religious. She passes away, they go to Har Menuchos, they're going to bury her, and then, I guess, bring the other body. So they bring the other body over. Obviously, he died 25 years ago. So they're going to bring the bones. And it was in a coffin. They bring the coffin. And as they're in Har Menuchos, they're putting the body in. You hear the Chevra Kedusha. If you've ever seen these Chevra Kedusha in Yerushalayim, you know, the old Chassidish Yidden, they start screaming. They're screaming the word, Shalim, Shalim, Shalim. And the mom is scared. So he doesn't know what's going on. Says his father. And he says, what? He says, the body's 25 years old and it's Shalim. The entire guf is still there. So he said, listen, and he was honest with them. There's actually halachas about that they were from them. So he told the story, and he said that the story was that his father lived in South Africa. He had some sort of business. And he said that the people that lived there, I was going to call them African Americans, but they're not African Americans, the South African, whatever their appropriate term, black people. So the black people that lived there It was obviously during apartheid, and it was very, very difficult. What happened was that any money that they got, so the white people would steal it from them all the time. They said there's this one tzaddik, this guy, this yid, who said, you give me all your money and I'll store it in my store, nobody's going to steal it because I'm white, I'll be fine. And they would come in, they would say their name, he would have an envelope, and he would give them money. Big Kiddush Hashem. And everybody said, oh, and he had this big name, this is the Jewish people, this is what they do. So he was honest in this area, so maybe that's the idea. So okay, so in any case, that's what he says. I'll just end. To be, it's considered to be a big milo, that your body didn't decompose. It shows that the physical and the spiritual are on the same level, and it's a big thing. We spoke about on Thursday night at the beautiful tish that we had, that idea about a person being able to take over, that the physical runs live, and that's why I say Pinchas never died. He was Elio Anavi. He never died.
Well, I thought the whole like the 1 year, is that like not the rate, that's usually how long it takes for like
body thinking, yeah.
And that's why you're saying like
right, but there is a milah, right. There is a milah to it. That's why he said he never died, because his physical was able to you know not overrun the spiritual. Yeah. So fine. So we'll do some of the tshuvas tomorrow, but I just wanted to entice you on the last point. The Sheol Tshuvas Har Tzvi, a very, very beautiful, interesting tshuva. They were asked. Carlino Rebbe died in America when he was in America, and so the shaila was, he lived in Eretz Yisrael part of the time, and he misaver, he wanted to be buried. So the Hasidim asked the famous Har Tzvi. They asked Rashi Pesach Wank, what should we do? So he says, the Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter to do this, especially in the case somebody says Abba or Tisrael, and they quote the as I said, the Rabach, who shakasa sha'af im megalu b'chayiv dato. So if a person really wanted to, the opposite, he says, I said in the case of the parents, he wanted to, he said he wanted to, so of course he should be buried there. Lachain, it's mutter to be covered by Tisrael, Misha, Kavar Yochosh, Lev Nafshoi, especially somebody like this, and he's a great tzaddik, and of course Eretz Yisrael wants him, and it's a mitzvah to be done that way. So of course, what did they do? They didn't listen to him, and he's actually buried in like some weird place, Denver. I forgot where he passed away. I don't know why they asked him the tshuva, they didn't go with it. Okay, so tomorrow we'll see a beautiful tshuva in the tshuvas of Hanagos, and some of the other ideas that are involved in this. We'll see Rav Moshe's tshuva. We'll also see this tshuva in tshuvas of Hanagos. But again, just to summarize our idea, so we see that there is definitely a case for Mises is machater. If the buried are Yisrael, there is that custom of using the dirt nowadays, which is a well-quoted custom. It's quoted here in the Ramah, the first Ramah that we did. It's quoted right there. That is right. If you look at the there's a minhag to use the offer of Eretz Yisrael. Yesh no'ogim latet mi offer Eretz Yisrael. So every kavur, if I'm not mistaken, in America, so they use some dirt that's from Eretz Yisrael. Very, very beautiful idea. Right, and he, of course, the Shach there says it's a kapar, mechaperes techsiv a kapar admas ima. So that seems to be the overriding minhag. I'll just point out that the Geshur HaChaim disagrees with this minhag, and he says he wonders if you're allowed to take even dirt outside of Eretz Yisrael and move it to America. You know, we had this Shiloh with the pebbles. Somebody that wanted to take the pebbles off the kotel and bring them so they could have a kavana when they daven. He says, of the kotel, you can't do that. He says, dirt also. Who said you're allowed to steal dirt from Eretz Yisrael and move it somewhere else? You can't do that. It's interesting because we say about if you, you know, I'll do this, but if you were to bring a tree of Eretz Yisrael, a fruit tree, and you planted it in America, so it's not Chayv and Shemitah and Yovel, there's no Kedusha. But that's what he said. But most people do follow this minhag. So again, tomorrow we'll see more practical tshuvas as well that involve different interesting questions in this inyan.